The mission of Jesus' followers is to continue the mission of Jesus himself. Here, he instructs his first disciples how they might proclaim the gospel through their words and deeds. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for your journey, no two tunics, no sandals or staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. And if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to you, your words, shake the dust from your feet as you leave the house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, father his child, and children will raise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who shows us unending compassion, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I begin this morning with a question. Have you ever had that gut feeling? You know, one of those feelings that you just can't ignore. It just sits with you and turns, and you just wrestle with it. It's that intuition that first indicates something is going on, and often it compels us to address it in some fashion. It can be anything from a quirky urge or a funny tingle. It's that little voice that we hear in our head. These are your gut feelings trying to tell you something. Now, we experience this in a variety of ways, in a variety of situations. But what should we do when we get them? Especially when it involves the well-being of another person. As we look at our gospel text today in verse 36, Jesus, when he saw the crowds, had compassion for them. Now, I want to look at the word compassion here. The Greek word is splagnitsmia. And I know I butchered that, but just trust me, it looks like that. Splagnitsia. Now, the Greek word here that's translated compassion, at its root, means to be moved to one's bowels. No, not a bathroom emergency. It's not an oh crap moment either. Rather, it's to be moved with compassion down in your guts. Because in Jesus' time, the bowels were thought to be the seat of tender affections. Tender affections. Especially when it came to emotions of kindness, benevolence, and compassion, and even anger. Today, we often refer to that as the feeling of the heart. Jesus was moved down in his guts and filled with compassion for those who are harassed, for those who are helpless, for those who are lost. The sheep without a shepherd, or shepherds who had fallen victim to the wolves. Sheep who haven't heard the good news of God's all-encompassing fold. So what does Jesus do? Jesus names a problem to his disciple. He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Father might send out laborers." He then names them and calls them and equips them and gives them that authority that they can cast out demons, curing every disease and sickness along the way. He gives them instructions to go out of who, of what, of where, and how to do things. Now, in this text, he specifically focuses on the house of Israel, but as we know later on in Matthew, in the Great Commission, or commission, as Deacon Shannon talked about last week, it was to all the nations. And then he sends them along the way with a warning. Brothers and sisters, there is no shortage of lost sheep today. I think we can all agree upon that. And I'm not talking about being here in the Bible Belt of those who haven't found Jesus. Because Jesus has found them. Jesus knows them. He sees their needs. He has compassion for them. So who are the harassed and the helpless? Who are needing compassion today? Perhaps it's someone in our own community who is hurting. Or what about in our city? Who are the helpless? As a nation and a world, who continues to be harassed? I pray that your guts are churning in these questions. Whether it be someone grieving in our community, or the continued legislative oppressive actions that our governance take against the homeless, or the unjustified killing of yet another young black male. These are a few of the hurting, a few of those who are harassed. They are the ones right in front of us. They are the ones who our guts point to. Because that same gut-wrenching compassion is the same deep emotion Jesus feels and activates in each one of us today. A few years back, there was a study done at the University of Iowa. There was a couple of scientists who gathered a group of folks to play this card game of chance. They were given four decks of cards and play money. The idea was that each card indicated whether they won or lost. And the goal ultimately was to get more of the cash delivering cards. What they didn't know is that these decks were rigged. Two of the decks contained cards that paid out huge rewards, but at the same time gave punishing losses. The other two decks gave low rewards with very few, if any, losses. The study found that it took 50 cards for individuals to begin to favor the safer decks, but yet 80 of those cards before they could actually explain what was going on. Now, the thing that is even more interesting in this study is that they had sensors on them, and studying their reactions, that after just 10 cards, remember 50-80, just 10 cards, they began to indicate a sense of nervousness and sweaty. They began to get sweaty when they reached for the riskier decks. Their emotions knew before they had any idea of what was going on. Their emotion knew. And when it comes to helping others, I believe that same deep emotion, that inkling within us, is there and full of compassion in each one of us. We don't always see it right away, and frankly, sometimes we even ignore it altogether. These are the wolves in our midst. And oftentimes, they're even under best intentions. We hear those voices inside or from others that are discouraging, that say, I don't know what to do or what I can say. They're the voices that say, that's not what we do. They're the voices that say, if I give that homeless person money, he's only going to buy booze with it. It's the voice that says, all lives matter. Yes, even that well-intentioned, all lives matter. Because brothers and sisters, think of it this way. If you've got two houses side by side, and one is on fire, and you're standing there with a hose, is your response going to be, all houses matter? No. No. You're going to say, this house is on fire. This house matters. This house needs to be extinguished. Brothers and sisters, our African descent brothers and sisters, houses are on fire and they are perishing in them. And yet we stand there with the hose pointed at our own white houses. Jesus' compassion was for the harassed and the helpless. Not the privileged, not the independent. Wolves. Wolves aimed at scaring us away from compassion. Wolves. Let us pray. Let us ask God what Jesus instructed his disciples, that we and our prayers, that we become these laborers for the harvest. And that the laborer in each one of us be brought out. There is a great need for laborers to share the good news. There is no doubt about that. We already have it in us, that deep emotion that is there. And just like Jesus, disciples, we too are sent as the messengers. We are sent to share that good news, to be apostles, messengers. The good news that despite the broken situations, the broken systems in our world, Christ is present there with them and full of compassion. And Jesus does this through you and me. He brings that good news through you and me. And we don't need a big bag of tricks. We don't have to have all the skills of the world. Christ has equipped us. He has given us everything we already need. All we need is the good news of Jesus, paired with those gifts that God has already equipped you and me with. gifts that share the good news through word and deed. This, brothers and sisters, is how Jesus brings about the kingdom of heaven in today's world. This is where Christ is breaking in our midst. Let your guts churn. Let them move. Let them churn. Let them long for compassion for our neighbor. Because your compassion is Christ's compassion. Jesus names it in and through you. We are his laborers, equipped and sent out. May we have the guts. May we have the guts to move and share in Christ's compassionate love. Amen.